Well, thank you very much once again for the invitation to come and join you for your service this morning. It's a great pleasure to be back here. And it's funny, as we walked up the up towards the church from the road, I had really strong memories come flooding back of my last two visits. So it's lovely to be here again. Well, I don't know how much you know about BRF. You may be very familiar with what we do. You may know very little. But either way, I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity to share with you something of our work today. I chose the Bible readings for today as I believe that they're key to what our ministry and vision at BRF is all about. In the reading from Psalm 78, the psalmist talks of the importance of telling the next generation what we have learned and what we know of God, his praiseworthy deeds, his power, and the wonders that he's done. By doing this, the next generation will know them, and they in turn will tell their children. And by so doing, will successive generations put their trust in God and turn their lives and live their lives for him. Then in the New Testament passage, in verse 19 of our reading from Matthew's Gospel, known as the Great Commission, Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us today, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. But how can we pass on our faith to the next generation if we're unsure of it ourselves? How can we make disciples of all nations if we're not living out our faith ourselves? Think of the safety briefing at the beginning of every flight. In the event of a problem with the cabin pressure and the oxygen masks are released, we're told very, very clearly to put on our own oxygen mask first before we try to help somebody else with theirs. So what's the equivalent of this for us as Christians? Well, I believe we need to invest in our own understanding and practice of our faith. We need to be grounded in God's word. Our outreach to others, our ministry, our actions, should come from the wellspring of our own relationship with God. Our vision at BRF is to see people of all ages grow in faith and understanding of the Bible, and to see more people equipped to exercise their gifts in leadership and in ministry. Our work with individuals, with churches, and with schools is reflected in six distinct areas. And here's a flavour of what we do within them. The first area is a programme that we call Living Faith. We want to encourage and resource vibrant Christian faith in people of all ages. Throughout our history, BRF's core purpose has been to help people to get a move on spiritually, in the words of our founder, Reverend Leslie Mannering. He wrote in his parish magazine in December 1921, "We are so apt to be immersed in organizations, committees, and plans that we become entangled in our own machinery. Even if the machinery is running smoothly and well, there's a danger of it being, well, just machinery. It's the dynamic of personal religion that really moves people. We need to get back to the fundamentals of our faith. Why should we not have a great parochial fellowship for the purpose of deepening the life of prayer, of Bible reading, and Holy Communion in each one of us? We will make the venture, believing that God calls us to this." And that led to what became the Bible Reading Fellowship. Nearly 100 years on, the world around us has changed immeasurably, but the need is as great as ever, if not greater. Figures from the 2018 Europe's Young Adults and Religion report show that a majority of young adults in 12 countries, that's 12 countries in Europe, have no faith. 70% of young people in the UK identify with no religion, and nearly two-thirds of young people in the UK never pray. In the developed world, Christianity is under cultural pressure as a worldview. Many Christians fall away from faith as a result, and many others go through the motions without finding a vibrant faith and relationship with Jesus or growing as disciples. Bible reading is an area of particular weakness. It's long been said that the Bible is the world's least read bestseller. Well, I was amused to see a news item on the 19th of September that reported in a survey of 1,000 people by Stenaline, the Bible came out as the second most likely book to be reread on holiday. You might be interested to know that the first was the Harry Potter series, and the third was 50 Shades of Grey. Then a news item on the 8th of October reported a completely different survey of 2,000 people by Sky Arts, which revealed that the Bible tops the list of books people in Britain lie about reading. Well, I would suggest that most people need help to read and understand the Bible, to go deeper in prayer, and to grow as Christian disciples. Left to our own devices, we'd probably stick with reading the Gospels and perhaps some of the Psalms. I wonder how well we know our Bibles. Someone once wrote to us at BRF about our Bible, about our new daylight Bible reading notes, and they complained that they didn't like the Old Testament readings that we included. Why couldn't we just stick to the New Testament, which was much nicer? Our editor, David Winter, at the time, wrote back, gently pointing out that we are the Bible Reading Fellowship, not the New Testament Reading Fellowship, and just how important it is for us to engage with the whole of the Bible. Well, daily Bible reading notes provide the basis for a regular pattern of Bible reading and prayer, and providing these has been a core part of our work since 1922 when we started. A few weeks ago, I met two people, one of whom had been reading our BRF notes for 50 years and the other for 60 years, and I suspect that one or two of you who go back to the beginning of the BRF group here at St. Mary's may well be able to compete with that longevity in terms of Bible reading. Within our Living Faith programme, we produce a whole range of resources in the areas of Bible reading, prayer and spirituality and discipleship, all of which have the aim of encouraging and resourcing vibrant Christian faith. And I brought just a few examples with me if you're interested to have a look after the service. The second area of our work is our Holy Habits programme. We're passionate about discipleship at BRF, and this is a thread that runs through much of what we do. Holy Habits is a whole church programme of discipleship that explores Luke's model of church found in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. It encourages the way of a development of a way of life formed by the 10 holy habits that are identified within this passage. These habits include biblical teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, sharing resources, serving, eating together, gladness and generosity, worship, and making more disciples. Through this program, we are providing resources for churches with groups, small group studies, sets of Bible reading notes that explore each of the 10 habits, and so on. And it's really exciting for us to see churches across the denominations beginning to embrace this program. The third area of our work is our work with primary schools with our Barnabas in Schools program. This autumn, we marked the 20th anniversary of this work in primary schools. And through Barnabas in Schools, we're providing a professional education service to help primary schools explore Christianity creatively and confidently. You may know that Christianity, or you may be surprised, that Christianity is the least well-resourced of all the world faiths when it comes to teaching RE. There's a significant decline in biblical literacy and understanding by both teachers and their pupils. Teachers also lack confidence when it comes to teaching about Christianity in the Bible. Well, during the last 20 years, over 500,000 children have experienced one of our creative arts-based Barnabas RE days, and thousands of teachers have attended our inset sessions and used the free materials that we provide online. In all of this work in schools, we use Bible stories as our starting point to explore big themes. So, for example, we work with the parable of the Good Samaritan for our theme, Who is My Neighbor? This explores how people shut themselves off from each other and how Jesus invites us instead to reach out to everyone around us, regardless of prejudices. So using drama and storytelling to open up these Bible stories, we find is a hugely effective way to engage children and get them thinking and talking about these big themes and questions. It's an enormous privilege for our team to be able to share the Bible with children in this way. And you'd be surprised how often the team members report back to us that the children they've worked with in that particular school that day have never, ever heard these Bible stories before. For someone who grew up reading, who learnt to read, rather, and grew up with the Bible, I find it astonishing. But it's our present reality. Another growing area of our ministry is our chaplaincy to older people. So much of the church's attention today is focused on engaging with children and young families, and obviously it's right that we do that. But we also need to ensure that we care for the older people around us. Our population is getting older. For the first time ever in Britain, there are now more people aged 60 and over than there are under 18. The number of people over 85 is predicted to more than double in the next 23 years. The number of people living with dementia is increasing rapidly as well. Loneliness is a major issue for many older people. So I was talking a few months ago to one of our Anna chaplains who's based in Leicestershire. And he told me that he had made contact with a care home in his patch, because he wanted to explore the possibility of going in to visit and to lead worship. And the care home manager said to him, "David, I have 50 residents in my care home. How many of these 50 residents do you think receives a regular visit from a close friend or family member?" And by regular, he meant once a week. So David took a guess and thought, well, perhaps half? The reality is 4 of those 50 people received a weekly visit from a friend or family member. Loneliness is a real issue. Well, we want to challenge and inspire individuals and churches to think about and to engage with the spiritual care of older people, both within the congregation and also within the wider community. And our chaplaincy has been part of BRF since 2014, and it's a model of community-based ecumenical chaplaincy to older people. Our vision is to see an Anna chaplain eventually in every small and medium-sized community in the land. We make the Anna chaplaincy model available to churches, and we work with churches to help them get it established in their particular context. Well, in the last few years, our network has grown from 1 to 100 Anna chaplains and others in equivalent roles, and we're seeing growing interest from right across the denomination. So there's a way to go before we see one in every community, but that's the ultimate vision. I must just tell you about Bob. Well, Bob is Britain's official oldest man. He was 111 back in March, and he chairs the support group that supports my colleague Debbie Thrower, who leads our Anna Chaplaincy Ministry. One of my new colleagues joined the team about 18 months ago, and she went down to meet Bob because she wanted to talk to him and get a sense of what he's about as she began her role with us. And at the end of her really inspiring conversation with him, she said, "Bob, I must ask you, what do you put down, or what's the secret that you would say, the secret of your longevity?" Bob paused for a moment, and then he looked at her, and he just said, "I always look both ways before I cross the road." Well, the fifth area of our work is with parents through our Parenting for Faith ministry. We want to change the culture of Christian parenting in this country. We want to make concern for your child's spiritual health and their well-being as much of a priority as their physical and their emotional and their academic well-being and their academic development and achievement and so forth. We want to make the spiritual care of your child and your child's spiritual health as much a natural part of raising your child as teaching them to brush their teeth, tie their shoelaces, and so on. Well, we believe that parents are perfectly positioned to be the greatest influence on their child's spiritual faith and development. But research has shown that many parents have a crisis of confidence about this. What parents will say is, "Well, I'm not an expert. I don't know my Bible very well. I don't really know theology." Or we want to say, "You don't have to be an expert. Actually, what you need to do is to show your child the reality of your own life with God and share that with them. So we've been developing Parenting for Faith for the last 4 years. Now, it's not a case of, well, here's a program, follow our advice, follow our program, and you'll have everything you need to do it perfectly. Rather, what we're doing is offering a range of ways to encourage, to inspire, to resource and enable parents and their children to embark on this journey of faith together. So there's the Parenting for Faith website, a weekly podcast, lots of social media activity, training days, and a free online video course, which you can access either on your own or as part of a group. And the final area of our work is Messy Church. Now, Messy Church is extremely well known, but what's less well known is that it's part of BRF. Messy Church has been part of BRF for 15 years now, and it's a way of being church for all ages that's engaging many people who might not otherwise belong to any church. It started in Portsmouth, where Lucy Moore and her husband, the vicar, were trying to come up with a way to engage with the people on the nearby housing estate who didn't come anywhere near the church on a Sunday. Why Messy Church? Well, for a lot of people outside the church, they think that you need to be perfect and sorted out before you can come into God's presence. Messy Church says, no, God meets us where we are in the midst of our messiness, messy lives, messy families, messy relationships, and so on. Well, Messy Church usually takes place once a month, usually not on a Sunday, and it lasts for 2 hours. So the first hour is spent exploring the theme for that month through a range of creative activities. And that's followed then by a short act of worship, which draws the activities together, and then everyone shares a meal together. Essentially, Messy Church is another congregation. You might have two or three services on a Sunday, a midweek communion service, and a Messy Church, which perhaps meets on a Wednesday or a Thursday. Well, Messy Church has grown exponentially. Today we've got nearly 4,000 Messy Churches registered on our online directory, and it's found right across all the main denominations in the UK and in over 30 other countries around the world. 500,000 people a month are estimated to attend a Messy Church somewhere within the Messy Church movement. And many of these families don't belong to or attend any other church. So that's a snapshot of BRF's ministry and work today, whether it's individuals, churches, church leaders, teachers, parents, children, families, older people, the wider community. We have an interest in them all, and we believe that we've got something to offer, both to help them continue on their journey of faith and discipleship, and also to equip them in their ministry, their outreach, in their working out of their faith in the community, in their homes, in the workplace, and so forth. To return to our Bible readings from this morning, we're exhorted to tell the next generation and to make disciples. So much of what we do at BRF aims to do just this and to help others to do so too. Today is Advent Sunday. Happy New Year, may I add my greeting as well. But Advent is a time of waiting, of reflection, of preparation for Christmas, for the celebration of the birth of our Saviour, and also for his return, the second coming that we're promised will happen at some point in the future. Let's use this Advent season as an opportunity to reflect on where we are in our own discipleship journeys and to seek to go deeper in our own relationship with God. I have two suggestions that I'd like to offer to you as I finish. The first is that if you've not used daily Bible readings before, or if you've got out of the habit of doing so, why not give one of our series a try? We're not the only Bible Reading Notes publisher, and I'll be the last person to say you should read BRF notes and not notes from Scripture Union or CWR or and so on and so forth. As far as I'm concerned, if you're using any resource to explore the Bible and read it on a regular basis, I'm thrilled. But we have a range of series, and I brought some examples with me. And I'd love to give you a copy if you'd be interested to take one. I've got copies of the current issue, the September to December issue, so you could try them out for real for this last month of this issue, and I'd be delighted to give you a complimentary copy of it if you'd like one. The other thing, the second idea, and the second thought, is that we publish a new Advent book each year with daily readings, reflections, and prayers for every day of the Advent and Christmas season. So our new Advent book for this year is Image of the Invisible by Amy Scott Robinson. And again, I brought some copies with me if you're interested to have a look at it. Whatever we do, let's all of us do what we can to make time for God this Advent. There's so much busyness, there's so much that claims our time. We're so distracted, we're so pulled in every direction, and Christmas is a particularly busy time for everyone. But let's really work hard to carve out time, ideally each day, just to spend time with God, to reflect on where we are in our relationship with him, to come afresh to his word, and to seek a deeper relationship with him and his equipping for us as we go into this new year, this new church's year, this new calendar year in January. And let's resolve to live our lives afresh for him, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances. I'd like to finish, if I may, with the BRF prayer. So I'd invite you to pray with me. Almighty God, you have taught us that your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Help us and all who prayerfully read your word to deepen our fellowship with you and with each other through your love. And in so doing, may we come to know you more fully, to love you more truly, and to follow more faithfully in the steps of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forevermore. Amen.